I like us. I like our church. I like what we do. I like who we are. I like us coming together, and I love the Christmas and just us being in this space. You know, we're a very unique, wonderful community of faith, hope, and love, and I'm just very thankful, very proud, and very pleased to share these experiences with us together. Richard McQuan, if I could ask any word, son, I forgot to ask you prayer time, any word from Colorado? Still waiting for nothing like bureaucracy in America, huh? That'd take about another 3 months probably to get all the signatures. Oh my goodness. We continue to pray for you, young man. We continue to pray for you. Man, Christmas is just, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff. And, you know, you hear some stories, you can't believe they're true, but, you know, it's like truth is, reality is in more amazing fiction. In Colorado, I read this last week, in Colorado City, Colorado, where you may be going, or that area of the country. All right, there were some thieves who were, they call them porch thieves, I think now, who steal Christmas presents off porches. And they come and, you know, the Amazon delivers a present. They come steal it, and everybody's got their little cameras watching everything. Well, they had been messing with this one woman who, and taken multiple times, taking her presents, and she reported nothing's done. So she decided to take matters in her own hands, and she needed a little help because Thanksgiving they forgot to take their trash out. And so they had a whole lot of trash they needed to get rid of. And she had some empty Amazon boxes that just laying around the house. So she had a brilliant idea, you know, how to create a win-win situation, how to treat the thieves a lesson, and how to get rid of the trash in her house. So she took these empty Amazon boxes and, okay, I kid you not, off the newsfeed, and filled them with used kitty litter. Okay, used kitty litter. Put them in the boxes. Put them out there on the porch, and they took them. They took it, and they took them more than once. She's got them, I forget, two or three or four times. I forget how, I mean, I don't know if it's different thieves are taking them, but she's getting rid of her kitty litter. They're having a no good, very bad day. And it's like, you just, this time of year is just all the things that have happened. It's like, I read that, I said, oh my goodness, that's what they get for doing no good, mean stuff like that. Hey, but we're here. Man, just 10 days to Christmas, huh? 10 days until Christmas. Are you ready? You know, here we go. And we've been talking about Christmas, and Christmas is the dawn after the dark. And last week we talked about Christmas is Mary. And today we're talking about Christmas is Joseph. Christmas is Joseph. Joseph, the soon-to-be earthly father of Jesus, the heavenly Son of God. Now, in the Christmas story, I don't know of any figure who is overlooked more than the figure of Joseph. Often we think of Joseph as, we think of him on the front of a Christmas card. He's the guy that's pulling the donkey behind him, and Mary is sitting there pregnant. And, you know, and we think of Joseph as that guy when they got to an inn that he couldn't even plan ahead far enough to reserve a room for them. They get to the inn and, you know, she's pregnant and can't even get a space for her to have her baby. Or Joseph is in the Christmas play, the tall, awkward young guy who doesn't say anything but just stands there in his father's bathrobe playing this figure, Joseph. And you know, in a Christmas play, I don't know of any worse role to have than Joseph, all right? You know, you've got Mary with the baby Jesus, and she's just cooing and singing to the baby and welcoming all the other visitors who have come to see the Christ child. And the shepherds, they're gathered around looking and being amazed at the baby, and the wise men are bringing gifts, and the angels singing. And even the children who are asked to play the animals, even they make animal sounds like goats and sheep and cows and moos and things like that. But Joseph, in every Christmas play that I've ever seen, he's always the guy in the back who just sort of stands there and doesn't say or do much anything. It's almost like he's an add-on or a fill-in to this Christmas story. But you know, nothing could be further from the truth. Because Joseph is that man who had his whole life planned out before him, and it was suddenly interrupted by the news that his fiancée was pregnant. You know, and this whole Christmas story for a moment rested on his shoulders as he has to decide, you know, what to do with this situation. What does he do with Mary? How does he act? You know, how to work this whole thing out? You see, it's one thing to believe in the prophets when they said a Messiah was going to come, but it's another thing to find out how the Messiah was to come and that the Messiah was going to be part of your fiancée's reality and that she'd be the one to have the Messiah and you are not even married and she's still a virgin and to be okay with that. But of all the men that have ever lived, Joseph was that one that God set aside to be the earthly example, the earthly father of God's heavenly son. And together this morning, we're going to find out why. As we look to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. All right. At that time, and still in parts of the world, marriages are prearranged. All right, prearranged. And it begins in the initial arrangement. A lot of times when the young boy and young girl, the future husbands and wife are younger, the parents will get together and make the decision to that their son wants to marry their daughter, and they work out all the arrangements, or they're actually matchmakers. They had matchmakers who would arrange the couple to be married. And so they would have this initial arrangement, and a lot of times before the young boy or young woman would ever meet each other. And so that's the first stage, but the second stage is where the actual official engagement, that when they became of age, that they would officially become engaged, and they would be seen as being married, even though they still each lived with their own parents and they were not sexually intimate with each other, yet they were seen as being married, yet not married. And this would last for a period of 1 year. And during this time of engagement, the only way the engagement could be broken off was for the couple to be divorced. Okay, so they had the initial arrangement, the official engagement, but then the last part would be where they were actually married, that they would have the celebration, they would get married, everybody would come together, they would start a home, start a family, have kids, have animals, cats, dogs, hamsters, all these kind of things, and life happens and goes on. But at this point in their lives, Mary and Joseph, they are just officially engaged, living apart, not been intimate. When she becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. All right, because Joseph was a right with God, he followed God and obeyed God, Joseph decided and made up his mind to do the godly thing and show Mary God's grace instead of exposing her to public disgrace. All right, this is what he had decided and made up his mind to do. All right, let me ask you this. Once a person makes up their mind about an issue or person or situation, how easy is it to change that person's mind? Or let's get a little bit more personal this morning, okay? Once you make up your mind, all right, how easy is it for someone else to change your mind? Do you change your mind easily back and forth? Is it easily done? Or do you change your mind? Is it like trying to take down a brick wall with a toothpick? It just doesn't happen very easily. You know, and it's always fascinated me how we as human beings make up our minds, make our decisions, decide. You know, we go through life and we're confronted with a situation and we exposed to all this information, the news media, other people, family members, friends, things we hear and see on the TV and radio and read on the internet. And we bring all this information together and then take all this with all the experiences we've had in life so far, what we know to be true about reality and who we are in this world. And then we make up our minds, make up a decision based upon all this information. You know, and it's not an easy process. It comes to us, our minds filter it, it works through it, it weighs it, it gives value to every different aspect, and then we finally decide. And then we live our lives based on that decision that we have made at that point in time. However, the decision we have made may be true or false, right? There's one time people believed the world was flat until that was what everybody had made up their mind about until they found out it wasn't. Or we may make up our minds, and it may be correct for a period of time, like man will never fly until man flew, then we all changed our minds. And so this decision process, you know, it may be true, it may not be true, but it may be true for a period of time, but the best we can do is make up our minds based upon the information we have to date, right? We can only make a decision on what we already know. I've worked with people and they would have a very difficult decision to make. And so what they would do, they would research it, they would Google it to death, they would weigh all the options, all the possible scenarios, they would pray about it, they would do everything they possibly could, and the time would come for them to make the decision, and so they would decide. But sometimes it turned out to what seemed to be a bad decision. It didn't work out so well for them. But then they'd go down the road a little ways, and then they would gain a new piece of information which would change the way, brought a new light onto everything they were struggling with. And it was so radically, the new information was so enlightening that if they had had it as they were making the decision, they would have made a completely different decision. And they say things like, well, if only I'd known, I would have made a different decision. Well, I want to say, but I say to them, well, you can't do it that way. You can only decide upon what you know at that moment in time. If you've done your best, you've done the research, and you've prayed and worked through it, if you've gathered all that together, you can only make a decision based upon what you know at that moment in time that you have that decision to make. And all that Joseph knew was that he and Mary were engaged. She was pregnant. He was not the father. So she must have been unfaithful. So he made up his mind to do that godly thing, which was to divorce Mary privately. And he made up his mind, but God was getting ready to blow Joseph's mind. Verse 20. You know, because it says, but, hear that word, but, After he had considered this and made up his mind about this situation and everything that he could understand about this situation, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." You know, I like this word "because," but only when it's followed with an answer. You know, when our children were growing up, they would ask us a lot of questions. And most of the questions they asked were why. Why is the sun hot? Why is the water cold? Why is the sky blue? Why do birds sing? You know, why do I have to eat my peas? Why do I have to go to bed? Why do I have to take a bath? You know, why? Why? And Carol and I, we would do our best to answer their questions. But after a while, when we were just tired or it had been a long day and we weren't in the right place we should be in, we would just say, "What? Because." And they would come back with, "Guess what? Because why?" And we would say, "Just because. That's good enough." Yeah, that's right, Tiffany. Yeah, that's good enough. But you know, sometimes in life, just because is not good enough. And so the angel says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Based upon the information that Joseph had to that moment in time, he decided upon a course of action. But now God was giving him some amazing new information that would forever change his future. "Take her home, because what is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit." God, Mary wasn't unfaithful. No, Joseph, Mary wasn't unfaithful. God, there's not another man. No, Joseph, there's no other man. It was my power, my will, my Holy Spirit. He heard the word Holy Spirit. And that changed everything. Because Joseph understood what it meant when something was of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit understood the Hebrew mind was the Spirit of God which brought truth to the world. You know, it's throughout the entire Bible, it was the Holy Spirit who would speak through the prophets, and the prophets would tell the people about God. It was the Holy Spirit who would tell the people of God what it is that God wanted them to do. And it was the Holy Spirit that would bring truth and has brought truth to the ages, to all humanity. But beyond bringing truth to humanity, the Holy Spirit helped humanity understand the truth that the Holy Spirit brought to them. You know, we all have clouded opinions. You know, we have our own prejudices, our personal prejudices, our cultural prejudices, a way we see things, the way that it's not very clear. But the Holy Spirit helps us understand the truth about ourselves, about creation, about God. You know, as we sing, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." You know, the Holy Spirit is all about truth, revealing truth, bringing truth, but it's also about life. For the entire Bible begins with the first verse saying, "In the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God hovered above the waters, and that which was chaos became a world." And when God was going to make His children, He breathed His Spirit into an inanimate body, And it became a living, breathing human being. You know, the Holy Spirit is about truth. The Holy Spirit is about life. And in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God entered into the world in a form the creation had never seen before. In fact, years later, Jesus, as he was teaching and walking among us, he said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do not be afraid to take her home, Joseph, to be your wife. That which is in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Joseph, you'll be the one to give him the name Jesus, and you give him the name Jesus because Jesus means God who saves, and Jesus will be the one who saves God's people. And Joseph, understand this, that all this happened. All this occurred, Mary being a virgin, you two being engaged, me coming at this point in time in history, the child that was conceived in her, all this takes place, all this happens, just so that I, your God, could be with you. And Jesus made up his mind, but God changed Joseph's mind, and in doing so, God changed Joseph's future. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph had decided to divorce Mary privately, but now he took her home proudly. And Joseph carried Mary across the threshold of her home, trusting that the God who brought them together would be the God who would carry them into their future. And so it is with every young man and young woman as they're seeking to follow God. They come together, believing God has brought them together, trusting God for the future that he has for them. Not knowing what the future holds, but they know and understand that God will bring and wants the best for them. And Mary obeyed God and carried his son, and Joseph obeyed God and took Mary home to be his wife. But Joseph had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. As Jesus' earthly father, Joseph had the incredible honor of naming God's son. I can't think of any greater role for any person to fill than Joseph's role. And maybe this morning, you're like Joseph. You know, you've made up your mind. You've made up your mind to live life the way you've lived it because you made a best decision based upon the information you've been given to date. And you made a decision to live life without God, to live life on your own, independent, making your own decisions without God being part of your life. But maybe like Joseph, maybe today God has revealed something new to you, something different to you. That you have new information now that has just been presented and been revealed to you, and it begins to challenge what you've done in your past.
And like Joseph, it causes you to rethink everything, and the decision you made is no longer the decision you want to live with. No, like Joseph, the decision you made does not apply anymore, that you have a new decision to make based upon the new information that God has given you now. And instead of living a life away from God, you decide to live your life for God. All of your life for God. The totality of who you are for God. That just as Joseph changed his mind, you want to change your mind. And as he obeyed God, you want today to start obeying God. As Joseph stepped into the future God had for him, today, you want to begin to step and to know the future and live out the future that God has for you. And all you have to do is like Joseph, say with all your heart, God, I give you my life. God, I give you my life. Give your life to the God who gave his sent his son for you to give his life for you. Man, that's Christmas. That's Christmas. God sending his son for you. Christmas is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Dear God, what a wonderful time we have had together this morning. Every part that every person plays in this story of Christmas is important. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men. And every part we play living out of this story of Christmas is important. That as you make yourself known to us, as we learn new things about you, and you reveal yourself to us and your desire for our futures, then you change the decisions we made from our past. And you give us the future you have for us as we follow the God of our future. Dear God, help us during this Christmas season to pause and to reflect and to give thanks and to say, God, I give you my life. Even as a believer, God, I give you more of my life. Help me play my role as well as Joseph played his role and be a part of bringing your son Jesus even still into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.